This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Waylon McQueen.
And we are back in
live
business.
From Wrigley Field.
Live from... Why would you lie to the audience Waylon?
It's a lie.
We are watching the Cubs and the Brewers on Waylon's phone, and we're also watching playoff basketball on my TV. So we're a multi-sport podcast today, except that we'll probably just be talking about baseball, I think. Before we get into that, I want to thank, as always, our distribution partners at Boardwalk Audio and at OffTheBenchBaseball.com. Visit BoardwalkAudio.com to hear a bunch of other great podcasts, and go to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for hot takes, hot spicy takes on the goings-on in baseball.
Hot.
Yeah. Piping, some might describe it as.
Hey, can I give you some breaking news?
Yeah, hit me with some breaking news.
We didn't talk about this. I turned off my MLB notifications.
Oh, wow.
I got...
Completely.
Completely. Because you know why? There was... Because we've talked about this before. If I know I have enough time to watch a game later in the day,
mm-hmm.
like if the Cubs are on at like 11:30 our time and I know I could watch it at 2, I just will not... I'll just watch it at 2.
Right.
They were sending me mid... I had the Cubs mid-game update. I had all the Cubs updates turned off, but the MLB app would still be like, Rizzo hits a bomb. And I was like, fuck. And I got fed up with
it. Because it was like the only game on type thing.
Yeah. And so I got fed up. And it was stuff that wasn't... It wasn't like someone hits a grand slam or like... It was just like Rizzo hit a home run.
Yeah, right.
And I'd be like, I can't do this anymore. So they're just completely off.
Wow.
So
I'm cold turkey.
Don't get my no hitter.
Yeah, you're never gonna know if there's no hitters. Like Mike Fiers, who we'll talk about in a little bit.
So that's my
That is big news. That's a bold stance you've taken, and I may have to do the same thing. But the thing is, like, even if I leave them on, like, I don't even look at them anymore because I know I don't care about them.
Yeah, I try not to look at it, but just like it's my instinct to look at, because I have my text messages. I don't have it like hidden, so I can read my text messages on the screen. So I always just look, and I also get sports updates for other sports that I care about. So it's definitely my instinct just to be like
to check them,
to just be like, oh, and then I'm just like, it's always like I'm always like, no, it's too late.
Yeah. I guess I'm saying they're useless to me. Like even if they were imparting the most important information about baseball, like
noise.
Players on strike, I would just see like, oh, an MLB notification. This is not important.
Yeah,
this is probably the like AA pitcher of the month in the Midwest League or something. You know.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Well,
I did it. I turned them off.
I think you made the right decision.
Yeah.
So beyond Waylon notification news, as you guys know, we lead off every show with what's notifying Waylon, our famous segment where Waylon tells us.
This segment's going to be bone dry for a while.
Well, we'll just have to talk about other apps you get notifications for, you know.
Great.
Well, next week, Waylon's email.
Well,
our notifications
bother me again.
We wanted to talk about the NL East because we haven't given them much attention as of late. And it is an interesting division. I think we all expected 4 good teams. Mm-hmm. And right now, that doesn't seem to be the case. I think all of the teams have disappointed to an extent. All of the contending teams. The Nationals, the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets.
I think the Phillies are starting to get turned on a little.
Right? Yeah.
Their record is getting there. But I wouldn't say they don't scare. They scare you?
They scare me in the sense that they're willing to give each other double nut shots sliding for a ball. So that's a high effort play.
A double nut shot.
Everybody look it up because I don't ever remember seeing two players run their junk into each other before last season when the Rays did it.
Yeah, we've had it back.
And now we've had it
seasons.
Twice. This is the magic of watching baseball in the modern day. If it was the 1920s and we were just listening on the radio, we would never know that they hit each other in the jungle.
Even, well, and we would have to be in the market for, we'd have to be living in Philly.
Yeah.
You would only get, you could only listen to one market. If this was the 20s and pretend the Dodgers are here, we would hear Dodgers and Angels games and that's it.
Yeah.
We would not see, we would not get any other media for any other game.
Yeah.
And we'd look at the paper every morning like idiots.
We'd look at the paper and scroll through the box scores, seeing if anybody slid, if two players slid for baseballs at the
They'd
same time.
They'd have to report and that.
Yeah. We need, there needs to this be like a, you know, like a GIDP in the box score, like a grounded into double play. We need a like K-I-E-O-N, like need in each other's nuts. Kion.
Kion. It flows off. It's better than warp.
Warp? Or I think
Vorp isn't warp. Warp one.
Yeah. Warp is a predecessor to warp.
There's so many. Woba. That's a fun one.
Anywho.
Yeah.
The Phillies have they started really well, and I think they hit a dip, and now they're playing pretty well again.
But I would still say they're the fourth best National League team at best, right?
Probably. I mean, the Dodgers seem like the best team in the National League right now. After that, I don't know.
Cubs are 21-7 in their last 28.
Cubs are playing well.
They just still have holes, and they're sticking to Russell that we don't have to get into it, but it's dumb as fuck.
They have holes that they're sticking wife beaters into.
The Brewers have been very up and down.
I don't think either of those teams have established themselves so far this season as clearly better than the Phillies.
I would think if you ignore the first 10 days of the season, the Cubs are better than the Phillies.
Well, and I think I'm not going to ignore the first 10 days of the season because that's like a third of the season so far.
And I would say the Cardinals are better than the Phillies.
Probably. Probably you're right about both teams. But the Phillies, I think they actually are a team without very many holes.
That's true.
So we'll see. They seem like a team that could maybe use Craig Kimbrell. another bullpen arm, but you can say that about a lot of teams.
At least two-thirds of the teams.
Yeah. I guess I do. I'll say like that the Phillies are ahead right now gives me optimism for the Phillies that they'll stay there just because, as these other teams have sort of like the Mets and the National or the Mets and the Braves are right around 500 and the Nationals are like really struggling.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they've been able to take advantage of that bodes well for them, you know.
If you're a Phillies fan, you're probably happy with the way things are playing out, especially since Harper hasn't been maybe even
crushing.
In their top five best players. Like,
I think actually if you're a Phillies fan, you don't really care about the Phillies until the Sixers are eliminated.
Oh, right now,
playoffs.
That's true. But I think that you if you're a Phillies fan, you would be happier in first, but it would also just be like, man, the Nationals are this bad and the Braves have been playing so rocky and the Mets and this is it. This is all the farther in first place we are.
Yeah.
But that's not fair.
I mean, I think I am really terrible at remembering predictions that I make, but I think maybe I said I thought the Nationals would win the division. Or no, I think I picked them for wild card and Phillies for the division. So right now I've been very wrong about the Nationals. And I think all three of those teams should be very happy with, you know, I think the Nationals are digging themselves a hole that's going to be very difficult to climb out of.
Yeah, it's too early to count a team out, but they are close to being forgotten. I'm close to having to have a miracle 6-week stretch to get in it.
They're 16-24 right now, 7.5 games out of first place. I mean, the White Sox are very bad and have no chance of contending, and they have a better record than the Nationals are closer to first place.
What
than
are the
Nationals.
Giants?
The Giants? The Giants are one game better than the Nationals.
That's
the Nationals
that's
are
like
currently the second worst team in the NL.
So even if they play a little better, they still have to rely on the three NL East teams, the three NL Central teams we just mentioned. And the Dodgers are all very comfortably in front of them. And then they'll be fending off the Diamondbacks, maybe the Reds. Like, it's a tough order, or tall order.
Yeah, here's the thing that it makes me think about, because, you know, I think about baseball and sports in general pretty analytically and statistically, and sort of discount the human element a great deal. And I think that's largely true, but I do think there are situations that are, you know, a bad mix or bad leadership that sort of derail that team. And I think, like, you talk about the Cardinals in the first half of last year with Matheny. You talk about, like, to go to basketball, the Celtics this year, where it just is, like, the wrong mix of personalities. I saw a tweet the other day that was the Nationals were above 500 in every month that Dusty Baker managed them. And so far in Dave Martinez's tenure, they've only been above 500 in 1 month.
Oh, my gosh.
So it kind of, like, obviously there's other extenuating circumstances, but when a team has this much talent, you just kind of question, how are you not getting more out of it? When you have a rotation with Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin, and you have, you know,
Turner, Rendon, Soto.
I mean, Turner's been hurt.
Oh, but Turner has been hurt, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, and then Grandal behind the plate. Not Grandal.
Gomes.
Yeah, Gomes.
I mean, like, you would think kind of just having those three guys at the top of your rotation would get you to 500, like, to within a game of 500 or a game above 500 every week, right? You figure with those three guys going, they're going to win two or three games every week.
Yeah.
There's no excuse not to.
No.
You're going to get four starts out of those three guys.
With those three guys, like, every time through, you should win two of those three games, I feel
right.
like. And so then, yeah, if you're
and
catching,
so they're
going to,
they're going to each, one of them is going to be pitching four times a week. You feel like, if you're going with those guys, you should win two out of those four games at least. And you should probably win three most weeks.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
maybe that's like an oversimplification, but
I mean, I think it definitely is in some ways, but I think it's like true enough where they shouldn't be 16-24. And they shouldn't have one 500 month in a year in 2 months almost, or
right.
a month and a half. Like, and that's absurd, especially, it's absurd.
I mean, I don't pay close enough attention to the Nationals to know, like, X's and O's wise. Like, are these bad strategic decisions being made, or is it just, like, you know, the team not being reached in some way? But, like, I feel like if not the manager, like, you at least have to take a look at the coaches and how are they not coaching up the talent on hand?
I think there's something to be said. It's impossible to know what it is. I guess maybe sometimes just a bunch of players have a down year, but it doesn't, because like the Red Sox that year that they were really bad, it was very clearly a clubhouse problem or a front office problem that the year, and then they came back and won the World Series, right?
Yeah.
Or 2012 or whatever that was when they collapsed. And so it is hard not to look and see it, or not to start to think like, that this much talent, it's so crazy for all of them to be this bad. Why aren't they winning with Max Scherzer starts? I've been on enough improv teams to know that that's, you know what I mean? Like, I've been on enough improv teams with good improvisers where the team didn't work, where, like, it's not that there's, you can't analyze it the same way, but it's just, like, very clear that it's more than just talent that you have in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, I think baseball is kind of the easiest sport to say, like, because it's so individual. So much of the time, like, it's easy to say, like, if you have enough talent, you can make anything work personality wise and like leadership wise. But like, obviously that's not the case.
Yeah.
Right?
But like, if I mean, cause we both play sports and I've played sports, and like, it makes total sense. Like, if you're feeling like your hitters aren't like being selective enough at the plate or whatever, and you're a pitcher, that's, you could carry that to the mound if you're a certain type of person.
Yeah.
And then you're going to either start overcompensating, you're maybe not going to care as much to back your players up, or vice versa. If you don't have any faith in a bullpen, well, I don't know the X's and O's either, so I'm not trying to pin it on anybody, but like, I can see very easily where in baseball, since it's so individual, it's very easy to feel like, well, I'm not getting any support around here. Why am I giving 100%?
Sure.
And it's not that that's fair or good or justifiable, but it could happen.
Yeah. It's just strange. It's just... Mm-hmm.
But
I'm trying to think of, like, what other situations this reminds me of. Like, what other teams... Like, I don't think it's quite that Red Sox team.
No,
just
it
because
doesn't feel the same.
That Red Sox team was, like, super veteran heavy, I feel like.
And it doesn't feel like the Cardinals last year, because unless there's something we don't know.
Right.
I guess it feels like, yeah, I don't, like another baseball team?
Yeah, just like a team that is sort of chronically underachieving.
Mariners, kind of? They've Maybe. Never had like this much talent.
Yeah,
I don't
think they like necessarily underperformed their talent. I guess like maybe that Astros team after they won their first division title and they like took a step. Huge step backwards
right, yeah.
in between before the year
won
they
World
won the
Series.
World Series.
Yeah, the 2016
Something like
Astros.
That.
Yeah. It is really...
Or like maybe a couple Yankees teams have been like that. I don't know. It's just...
But sometimes I just feel like in baseball, like if... Since it's so individual too, like if four players are having their worst year...
Yeah.
Like that's... On a team like that, that's the difference between... 15 games over 500 and two games. I mean, 16 and 24 is bad. So I feel like that's, to me, it's not so surprising that they're under 500, but it's that they're the second worst team in baseball right now.
In
the NL. And that's what makes you, or people start to think like there's got to be more going on. Because it's one thing if they have that much talent and they have the same record as the Braves. It's a completely different thing if that they're this bad.
Right. Yeah, last year they were sort of, where the Braves are now,
yeah,
not in terms of like situation necessarily, but that sort of like hanging around 500, like not clicking into gear. Whereas this year, it just feels like they just have, you know.
Yeah, and it's not Harper. There's no way it's Harper.
No.
Like, I don't think Harper was that good of a player, or he couldn't.
Not last year.
He could have been like that much of a clubhouse player. I don't, like, maybe he was the one that made everybody... Dragged everybody
along.
He's
probably a pretty good clubhouse presence, but
people
like,
seem to like him.
Not the guy that you would expect to be maybe
not your
part
Jason
of the
Hayward's.
Team or yeah. What?
Jason Hayward is like a
is
very
he the
much
clubhouse
like,
leader at the for the Cubs?
I would say he's definitely one of them. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't
he
know that.
He famously gave the rain delay speech in Game 7 of the World Series.
That's right. That's
but
right.
But it's not just one story. Like, I don't blame you for not knowing, but right. He's definitely like a dude that you can tell is like a rallying point for that team.
It's interesting. It's always interesting when like the leader of a team and the guys that are respected are also like not great at baseball. Like it kind of shows like they must be a really good leader. If, like,
well, he's
everybody...
really good at defense in that. You know what I mean? Like I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but like to look up to a guy who's hitting 230 or whatever as like this guy's like the center of the team. If we lose him, like we're gonna lose a meaningful piece. Like
I just think they're a different person. I think that
like I'm giving him a compliment
right,
as
right,
saying
right, right.
like he must be a great leader
yeah.
and a great person
yeah.
if like people are still willing to give him that much respect with the amount
with that
he's struggled
struggle.
Over
yeah.
the last few years, because like I feel like athletes, they look up to players who are good,
yeah.
who are better than them. It's just natural, you know?
But I think, like, yeah, it is natural. But I think I was bringing up the defense because, like, he is better than anybody in that clubhouse at defense, maybe
sure.
other than Javi. Like, so they have something to look up for. And I think that a lot of athletes respect effort. And
yeah.
It's not that he was doing poorly at the plate because, like, he was being lazy or not
right.
trying. And this season proves that something's in there because he's having a pretty decent start.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, not.
I haven't
not
checked.
Living up to his contract.
Gotta go
but
through my bookmarks.
Yeah.
Hit the Jason Hayward Fangraphs.
He's been hitting leadoff. Yeah,
that says more about the Cubs than it does about Jason Hayward.
No, but
I
he's been hitting leadoff because he's been hitting like a leadoff hitter, and he's been getting on base. I'm not saying that it's sustainable, and I'm not saying he's like an all star, but I am saying that he hasn't been pitiful.
I don't know. You used the words Jason Hayward and All-Star in the same sentence
yeah,
just now.
I'm planting
so.
It. I'm not saying Jason Hayward. I'm not saying Jason Hayward is an All-Star.
I'm just not saying,
I'm not saying
Jason
Hayward. He's been playing pretty well. Again, he's playing well enough where I would say if this was like the first year of that contract or that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You'd be like, okay, it's not a complete waste, but I hope he's not worse than this.
Yeah, yeah. As a bounce back, you're like, oh, he's not the worst hitter on the team. All right,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
See, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, David Ross was a clubhouse leader, and
yeah,
he wasn't really good at any part of baseball.
That's true. All right.
It's just like some guy. And I think like some really good players like don't want that responsibility.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So it's like,
and some like are not built for it. Like,
yeah.
Even if they want it, they're, you know.
Yeah.
I think Frank Thomas, as great a player as he was like just not, he was not a rah-rah guy. He was not like, which is funny because he is very charismatic on TV and in retrospect, but he's just like.
In those eugenics ads?
Yeah.
Or
exactly. Eugenics, please. Yeah. Don't besmirch him already more than he's already besmirched himself. If you're new to Duck Story, go find the episode where we had Carl Tart play Frank Thomas and Hawk Nugenics. Anyway, going back to the NL East. So, Phillies, good start. Nationals, I think they're out of it. I don't think that they're going to come back.
It's difficult. The only reason that I don't feel comfortable saying that is because it's still May.
Yeah.
But I do think, because like, look at the Red Sox. The Red Sox are right back into it, and you couldn't have had like a better, worse month than they had.
But we're a quarter of the way into the season now.
Yeah, there's more sample size. I guess what I'm saying is that we're a quarter of the way in, but it's mid-May.
Sure.
If the, you know, if the Nationals somehow go like 11-3 or 10-3 their next games, like, then it would be tough at the end of May if they're around 500 to say they're out. But like,
sure,
they're getting on June 1st, if this is still what they're looking like, I'm very prepared to say they're out.
I'm gonna overreact and say they're
out
of it.
Ooh.
Just because there are three teams that are better than them in their division.
The division's gonna be tough, and like they're then the three teams in the NL Central are ahead of them in the wild card.
Yeah,
like it's a very tough hill to climb.
And I think the Braves and the Mets both have more upside to improve than the Nationals do.
Who in 1 month? Who do you think is closest to the Phillies, or in first place? If you think they'll pass the Phillies,
it's a good question because I think. The Mets have upside left in their pitching staff.
Yeah.
And I think the Braves could really use Craig Kimbrel.
Oh, they might be like top five needing Craig Kimbrel.
They also kind of need Dallas Keuchel. They do have so many arms. So I'll say that they have more upside to improve, even if they don't sign somebody, just because like they've got just... these, you know, a dozen pitchers in AAA who are supposed to be impact type arms.
And Acuña's taken a little step back from last year. He's still playing well, but not as good as last year. So if he kind of picks it up a little, that's worth, you know, maybe worth another win over the next 6 weeks.
Right.
Or an extra win from how he's playing now. I would say that the Braves are closest to the Phillies in a month. But also, like, it's probably going to be the Braves and Mets are within 2 games of each other, and they're both within 4 games of the Phillies. Like, I don't see the Phillies pulling away necessarily, and I don't see necessarily the Braves and Mets pulling away from each other.
I feel like this could be the best division race, but at the end of the season?
Yeah. I think we talked about before, I think the Central is shaping up pretty well, NL Central.
NL Central.
And
yeah,
I also
absolutely think
the AL East is now, especially with Glasnow getting injured, which is a big bummer, and the Red Sox playing better, and the Yankees getting healthier. They must be getting healthier. that's like, I mean, that's three divisions where three teams could be in it.
Yeah, I feel like in my mind that maybe it's because this is the race out of all of those that I pay the least attention to, so I have like the least intricate knowledge of all these teams.
Yeah,
I feel like it'll be the like I can nitpick all of those NL Central teams and all of those AL East teams in terms of like, oh, they might fall out of it, or I think that this team is probably gonna like pull away, and I can't do that in the NL East.
But who in the Central, who do you think? I agree with you. I can't do that in the East either. But in the Central, like, I don't see any of those teams, like, bottoming out or pulling away. They all have flaws. I'm not saying they're all, like, 100-win teams. But I think they're all pretty comparable.
I could see the Cardinals pulling away.
And yeah. I think they probably have the
I think they have the least, like, Achilles heels of... Like, the Cubs and the Brewers, those pitching staffs are both have the potential to have, like, a terrible month that puts them, you know, 5 or 6 games further back.
It just depends on the Cubs if you think, like, Hendricks and Quintana are, like, back.
Right. But, like, we've seen recently enough poor stretches from them recently enough that, like,
this year,
you know, that could potentially be a weakness, and I don't see that quite as strongly on the Cardinals in terms of, like, the bottom falling out anywhere. And I think likewise, like, I could see really any of the teams in the AL East sort of, like, running away with it. The Yankees and the Red Sox because of their top-end talent, and the Rays because of the way they maximize their players and, like, maximize matchups. I could see any of them sort of, like, being regular season champion with ease.
That's interesting.
NL East,
of course,
like, nobody stands
out. Yeah. But, I mean, you just saying that you think any of those three teams could pull away from it is also, to me, saying that it's shaping up for a tight race because they're all... Like, you know, like, I think with the Cardinals, I see what you're saying. I think the Cardinals probably do have the lowest floor. I think that it's definitely possible for the Brewers and Cubs to be worse. Like, the Cardinals are only going to be so bad.
So they have the highest floor.
Yeah, sorry, the highest floor. But I think that I could definitely see the Cubs and Brewers both keeping up with the Cardinals. And I also could feel the Cardinals playing below their ceiling. If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, you know, kind of basically, like, anything could happen. Yeah. But, like, that I guess
I have a hard
that's
time.
Just my surface judgment of those
saying.
Races.
I have a hard time thinking any team could pull away in any of those divisions. Personally, right now, at least. Because, like,
that's
right
fair.
Now, it's like the Dodgers are definitely going to win that division, and the Astros are definitely going to win that division.
The
Central
Twins
could
are
be good.
Up,
the Twins
up
are
big. The Central won't be a good, because even the good teams are not that good. But, like, what'll be interesting to me about the AL Central is, like, okay, so the Indians have not been good at all.
No.
Are the Twins going to be
they
the number
can't
one
keep
seed?
This up.
Are the
no
Twins
going to
be the number one seed in the AL if they're in a division with 4 bad teams?
That's so then, like, the Rays and Red Sox are playing a one-off game against each other to go to Minnesota for game one of the DS.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Crazy. Well, the Yankees and Astros play each other.
Maybe.
I think that I'm convinced that the Twins are good enough to win that division. They can't end up with the best record, basically. Do you think they can? Because they're beating up
the
on the Central.
The unbalanced schedule, yeah. Like, they're going to have a huge advantage. They have the best record in the AL right now.
I think they have the best record in baseball.
Yeah. So it's like... Like, all they have to do is keep doing exactly what they've been doing.
Well, God, that would be so bizarre. I have such a hard time. I have an easy time wrapping around my head around the Twins winning that division, but having the best record in baseball. But you're right. That path is laid out.
Yeah.
Because the Indians, I don't know how they get better without making huge moves.
Well, they, you know, got to get a little healthier.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean... They just need some, like, kind of lightning in a bottle type performances, it feels like.
I don't know, like, who the Twins have played yet. That's the only thing. Like, if they haven't played the Red Sox or Yankees.
Well, I don't think
Astros
they've played
yet.
The White Sox yet. Ooh, so
man. I'm trying to think. They played the Royals, but, you know, not that many times. Not 19 times. And they'll definitely beat up on the Royals.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be crazy. That would be fun.
Interesting
to think
fun.
About. 100
yeah.
win twin team.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Well,
we have three
100 loss teams.
I'll caveat this by saying, obviously, I hate the Twins. Nothing about them is ever fun. But as far as a Twins team being good, this is the ideal scenario for me to hate them the least.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What's more fun for you, the Twins, since you hate the Twins, going into September with, like, a 9-game lead and they blow it to the Indians? Or the Twins winning, like, 103 games, upsetting the Yankees, upsetting the Astros, and then getting just destroyed by the Dodgers in the World Series.
That number two, I think. especially because you threw the Dodgers into it. I would love to live in a city that is like World Series champion again.
Oh,
well,
I see.
I mean, beating the Twins.
Oh, because you were in Philly.
Yeah. And it's very fun. You know, if there's like a nice sense of like community and togetherness.
How do you think the Dodgers winning the World Series would affect our day-to-day life those like 4 days?
I mean, the night that it happened would be crazy for sure. Like, we probably...
Like, but in our neighborhood?
Yeah, just in terms... Like, there would be fireworks all night.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
There
would be cheering all night. Like, there would be... Like, that would be the main way it affects day-to-day life is just we would have a harder time getting to sleep. And then...
I'm saying our neighborhood. I want to make it clear about that because that could sound terrible. Because I feel like we live in a neighborhood that it would be fair to say is maybe one of the most indifferent to sports neighborhoods in the city.
Oh, interesting. I've never thought to measure that neighborhood to neighborhood.
I could be wrong, but I don't think that's too far. You know, I don't...
That neighborhood by Dodger Stadium would be... They would go...
They would go ballistic. Yeah, and a lot of, like, maybe Eagle Rocket... This is getting too far inside baseball, but like, I feel like we're doing a lot of like artists.
Dodger baseball.
I think it would be fun. Maybe if I wasn't working, I'd go to the parade.
I would definitely go to the parade.
I wonder where it'd be. Probably downtown.
Sunset? Down Sunset, maybe?
From Dodger Stadium? Or like to the stadium?
Yeah, I would think to the stadium, and they would do like speeches on the field of the stadium.
That would be pretty dope. I'd go to that.
Yeah. That's what they did when the Phillies won, at least. I would definitely go. All right. So we did talk at length about the NL East. We also threw some other topics in there. But we just kind of wanted to do a grab bag of a bunch of interesting things that happened this week, just to touch on, to give a nod to. And the first is that Edwin Jackson has been acquired by the Toronto Blue Jays.
Minor leaguer. Right.
Was it on a minor league deal? I thought he was on a major league deal with the A's.
He hasn't pitched yet with the A's this season. No.
Well, if he makes his debut for the Blue Jays, it'll be his 14th team, which is a major league record.
And I believe 17 seasons.
I mean, that's pretty nutty for sure. He's pitched for the White Sox. I remember him.
He's pitched for the Cubs.
Yeah. After the White Sox.
Yeah. Pitched for the Rays, right?
He started with the Dodgers, but he was traded to the Rays very early in his career.
Pitched for the Diamondbacks, right? Yeah. Maybe.
Gosh. The first time he was traded, it was for Danny Baez. Do you remember him?
I do.
Closer?
Baez, yeah.
God, what a blast from the past.
Yeah.
I mean,
probably
the
best Baez in Major League Baseball history, right?
Probably. Certainly the best infielder, even though he played pitcher. He was a much better infielder than...
Phenomenal off the mat.
Part of it is like... So I think there's an interesting thing with guys like Jackson, who are obviously the journeyman by definition, the prime example of journeyman. But I feel like, you know, it's easy to sort of like... chuckle about it and just be like, oh, or like, it's easy for it to be trivia, but like 16 years in the big leagues is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
And like partially that's because he was so good when he was young. Like he was a top prospect, one of the best prospects in the game at the time. And he made an all-star team when he was 25.
Yeah. He hasn't had I was looking at his stats the other day when I heard this news. He hasn't had a lot of like great seasons.
No.
But
he's always been a good stuff, bad command guy.
But like that's not a bad little career to carve out because like, yeah, you know, he's like a good fourth or fifth starter. He's never been bad enough to not be worth being in a rotation. And he's never been good enough for you to say, we got to keep this guy.
He was a 4-win pitcher 1 year when he was in Detroit.
Yeah, that was his best probably statistical season, I want to say.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I think last year with the A's was one of his better seasons.
Yeah, he was very solid for them down the stretch. He started playoff games for them.
Like, he's definitely the type of pitcher that, like, if the Cubs were in trouble or the Royals, I can't believe he hasn't played for the Royals. Would you be upset if, like, the White Sox were, like, if you felt like next year was their year to start contending? Like, next year was their Braves last year, but Edwin Jackson was their fourth or fifth starter? Would that be bad?
Probably. I probably...
They're fourth or fifth, really? I mean, at this point, he's getting old.
If he was the fifth starter, maybe, but it would indicate a lack of ambition to me in terms of like filling out those slots.
Like a wrong direction type of thing.
Yeah, and like if you're going to make a push, you should be aiming higher than Edwin Jackson because that, I mean, partially it's because Edwin Jackson was their plan to like jump to contention eight years ago and it didn't work then when he was like 28 or whatever. Yeah. So, but I think it's, yeah, I don't want to be spurted, but like I wouldn't want to open the season with him like as a, you know, a part on the team that is being depended on. Like if he was a swingman, if he was a non-roster invite, like, yeah, sure.
Or like you have a pitcher on the IL for a month and he's the one stepping in to take those four starts.
Yeah, if he makes spot starts, yeah.
But I think still 34 years old is still not a bad role to have.
I mean, the crazy thing is that he's 34. Like, you think, like, he's already hung around this long.
35, I'm sorry. He's 35 because he's my age. I'm 35, everyone.
The truth finally comes out. You've been trying to hide it for so long and it came out so easily. Yeah. I just think, like, I don't know. I hope he can keep going. You know, I hope teams keep giving him chances. I hope he gets called up to the Blue Jays. I hope he pitches five more years for five new teams.
Well, the Royals and Giants, like, have to be in that.
Just teams that suck, you mean?
Teams that would sign Edwin Jackson.
Yeah,
I texted
the
this,
Royals.
This, I came, I'll give Evan credit for the Giants one because we were talking about this via text, and Evan, friend of the podcast, Evan Riney, I was like, I can't believe he hasn't been a Royal, and he was like, I was just about to say, I can't believe he hasn't been a Giant, and I was like, well,
yeah, those are both surprising for sure.
Also, I looked up because then I was just looking at his stats. Edwin Jackson hit .228 one year for Arizona.
Wow,
13 hits. That's not
athletic
a bad little,
guy. I
not
suppose
a bad little season.
Yeah. So in other journeyman news, Mike Fiers threw a no-hitter, the second no-hitter of his career. Shocking.
I mean, how no-hitters are like pretty random event. Like,
yeah, but like
two is pretty impressive.
For a guy who's fine, not great, I would say, and has had some years where he was very bad and some years where he's solid. But who is not like a strikeout guy is not overpowering. I think it's pretty surprising.
I think now, today, I do agree that it's surprising. So this isn't me like saying, like, how dare you say that this is surprising? But I think today strikeouts are almost harder for no hitters because it means more pitches.
Yeah.
I think if you want to throw a no hitter, you want ground balls and you want early count contact. So if he's locating,
yeah,
that's
I guess if
that's
you are
your
a
best
ground,
chance.
If you are a ground ball guy and your team is being aggressive with shifts, that's improving your percentages incrementally every sort of play. I don't know. It's a cool, I just think it's cool. Like, I read an article about it on FanGraphs, talking about Fiers' background. Like, he, you know, went to community college, I believe, or maybe it was a 4-year university, but one you've never heard of. Nova Southeastern University.
Yeah,
he may have gone to community college and then Nova Southeastern University. 22nd round draft pick, like, has never been a hard there. I admire guys who will carve out a career. Like, almost in some ways, he's sort of like the other end of the spectrum as Jackson.
Edward Jackson,
where he's like this guy who is very highly regarded, who was a flamethrower and like had some high highs. Fiers is a little more steady, a little unheralded, but has carved out a very nice career for him as himself as well.
Has he won a World Series, Fiers?
I don't think so. I think he's only pitched for the Brewers, the Tigers, and possibly one other team.
Well, he's on the A's now.
Oh, Astros. That's
Astros.
Right.
Did he win one with the Astros or no?
Oh, maybe he did, actually. Now that you're saying that, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Astros did win a World Series. So I guess he did win a World Series.
So 22nd round pick from some college that I've never heard of, and I've heard of a lot of colleges, is like, if you kind of told him his rookie year, like, you're not going to be a Hall of Famer, but you get two no-hitters and you're going to win a World Series. Like,
yeah,
he's like,
not bad.
How much happier can he be about his career?
And you're going to make a butt ton of money in the meantime.
I like, I think it's, I like those stories like that where it's like you're not a star. You had two huge moments.
Yeah.
You won a World Series. Like Ted Williams didn't win a World Series.
Right.
Did Derek Jeter win a World Series?
I don't believe the Yankees have ever won a World Series.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I was thinking, what, just one of those weird trivia facts about baseball
that people, a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't
know
that.
I was at a concert and it was a very good concert, but it's hard for me to be fully invested for the entire time of a concert. and so I was trying to figure out like during the Yankees like sweet spot of or all of their World Series, and I figured out if you were born if you're 10 years old when the Yankees won their first World Series, you would have been like
first, like, meaning like
ever
in
World
the,
Series, okay, yeah, 1924. So you were born in 19 or 11. So if you're born in, or sorry, 1923, you're born in 1913, then you would have been 96 for their last one. Like, what if you were a diehard Yankees fan from the time you were 10 and you lived to be 96? Like, you'd, how crazy would that be to see the Yankees just constantly win 27 titles in your life?
You've had a pretty blessed life yeah. making it to 96
well,
and seeing however many World Series titles,
yeah. 27.
27.
In 86 years. That would be incredible. What an incredible treat that would be.
I just like, I do, it's not even jealousy of like fans of like the Yankees or the Patriots. It's like curiosity. Like, what does it feel like to know that your team is just always going to be good?
I was thinking about that too. That like
my teams are always bad. Like it's like the opposite of my existence of knowing that the White Sox are going to be bad again.
Because I am experiencing an unprecedented stretch of the Cubs being
not awfulness,
making the playoffs. Yeah,
right.
And then also then having the Royals be good before that. But before that, the Dolphins are a complete shit show constantly have been since Marino left. And the Iowa Hawkeyes are my other, like, big sports alliance, or, like, are just a nothing college
team.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know what that would be like. And I guess the Cubs are the closest, at least they're making the playoffs, but to just win title after title.
Yeah.
The Red Sox fans now are the same way.
Yeah.
Even though they went through hell, but, like,
Robin keeps telling me I should just become a Dodgers fan. And I'm like, you might be right, honestly. Like, what am I gaining out of rooting for this team that just is constantly, like, upsetting to me?
But, like, what if, like...
But, like, I can't change
it. What if,
it?
Like, when you're 41, they become the Patriots? And then from when
then
you're
I'll
41...
Then I'll just be a fair-weather fan.
When you're, like, 41
It'll be
to
awesome.
55, they win six titles. You know what I mean? Like,
I think
would
being,
it be worth it?
I think being a fair-weather fan sounds great to me. I've just always been a diehard. But I'm just like, why should I root for a team that sucks? And that, like, I think the added element to recent fandom that was not there before, at least that I'm aware of, is, like, I suck for this business that does not care that, or they, I root for this team that does not care that they suck. Like they still make money.
It's like
they,
a tough like, business to support.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like they make money every single year. And it's like, you could be competitive if you were like at all wise about the ways in which you spent money or at all.
Yeah.
Like there's just, I don't know. The White Sox are specifically frustrating to me just because as an organization, as a major league team, as a complete organization, the same problem. They're just not above average at anything, like across the board. Like they're not good at drafting. They're not good at developing players. They're not good at like spending money in free agency. They're not good at finding values in free agency. Like they're not especially like analytic or like proactive in like investigating
like,
new ways to win.
They are, you are correct, and then because of all that, they are easily one of the most invisible teams in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, they're up there with, like, the Padres, who are finally now breaking
right.
out of that.
If
because
they
have a world-beater prospect, and they made one of the best free agency signings.
Yeah.
Like,
the only thing that they have, like, in the last, I don't know, however long that the Padres don't, is, like, a cool logo. That's the only reason
they
that they've
a cool
been
logo and best
less
colors.
Invisible. And,
they
and
do
the World
have,
Series.
They do have a title, but that was 14 years ago now,
yeah.
And I think that you're right to have that in the rearview mirror, right? Because I feel like I can't complain about the Cubs until at least probably 2025.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, there was definitely a
other
grace
than,
period.
I could complain about them employing a wife beater, but...
But I think the thing with the grace period that it's like... bad for them organizationally because they let atrophy like the thing.
Yeah.
They never expanded their philosophy on baseball or like team building or organization building. And in the meantime, the things that they were good at, which was keeping players healthy and like developing pitchers, finding pitchers out of nowhere, they're no longer good at. They've been passed by other teams at. So like they didn't get better at anything else. And the things that gave them an advantage, they're now like below.
So who is the most to blame here to you?
Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner,
that's,
for sure.
So that's what it is. It's yeah, like being a Redskins fan.
Kind of, yeah. Well, but Jerry's almost the inverse of like Daniel Snyder, where like Daniel Snyder is constantly interfering in everything.
I see. Reinsdorf
just like as totally hands off.
I see.
And like overly loyal. So like
I feel like
there's never any consequences for poor performance. Like they didn't even fire Robin Ventura. They made it Robin Ventura's decision, and he was like, okay, I'm gonna quit, I guess, because like obviously I should have been fired. Like
that it's the most frustrating when it's the owner.
Yeah, because there's nothing that's going to change it. Like, I don't want to root for another human being to die with, you know, very few exceptions for the worst people on the planet. But I think, like, that's the only thing that's going to change it, because I don't think he's ever going to sell the team.
Because even if he was like, I get it, this is all wrong, we need to start over, you're not going to be able to trust him to start over correctly.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, so, like, there's, like, it might get through his head. He's pretty old.
Yeah,
so,
he's very old. I don't think he's changing it anytime soon.
That's very frustrating. And I can't remember what led us into that exactly.
Yeah, me neither.
What were we talking about?
I got too heated.
We're talking about
I got too fired
not
up.
Not Vlad Guerrero.
Well, that's the next thing.
That's
on
the next
our,
thing. That's my great segue.
On our,
we're talking about Mike Fiers.
Yeah, Mike Fiers got me off on a rant.
I get it, man. That is very frustrating. Here's the thing.
Oh, because we were talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series, and
that's
then I was
right.
like, I should just be a Dodgers
Here's,
fan.
I will support you leaving the White Sox, but if you do it, you got to leave the White Sox.
Yeah, I can't go back.
If they are good, I think that you could be a fair weather fan. I think if you decide to leave the White Sox and they're good in like 5 years, you could be happy and you can root for them. But when it comes down to it,
but I
you're
can't
a Dodgers
identify.
Fan.
Yeah, that's true.
Or you can do double, because I obviously have a big American League, National League double. If you want to just elevate them, but then I think you got to know if they meet in the World Series, who's your squad?
See, I think I'm like yes. I think I'm actually incapable of really leaving.
Yeah.
And like I don't have enough time or energy to invest in following two teams as closely as I do of the White Sox. So I think I'm like kind of stuck with
it. It's only hard when one of them or when they're both good.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you right now, it's very easy to be a fan of the Royals and the Cubs because I'm not watching a lot of Royals games.
Right. Yeah, sure.
But there were a couple years where it was a blast. I'm not even going to pretend it wasn't super fun to have both of them be super good and wonder what was going to happen. But I think I don't watch basketball because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, I've just been getting more into basketball.
Do you
and
have a
like,
team for basketball?
Not really, which is nice. Like, I'm sort of a Suns fan, but, like, they've... In my re-entry to basketball fandom, they were already terrible, so I'm like, I'm not going to get invested in this team.
But they could get the first pick in the draft.
If they do, I mean, like, I check Suns blogs and stuff, but, like, very casually.
Maybe that's... I've never followed a league without having, like, a team. Because when I watched basketball, I had a team when I was a kid, and hockey even. But I wonder what's keeping me out now. Is that because I don't really have a team?
I like watching basketball without really having a team.
I'm sure you have teams you like more than others or whatever.
For sure. But like it lets me like watch good teams. So like the basketball that I watch is usually good basketball, not like ugly basketball. And like it gives me sort of a more like... Like, I can just follow storylines or, like, certain players or, like, it's actually very freeing in a way.
Maybe
if
I should
like,
jump in.
Yeah,
maybe I should jump in and start doing that next
if
season.
If you're, like, inherently interested in the sport and, like, it's a fun sport for you to watch, I think actually it's a very good way to watch sports. Because you, like, appreciate the sport, not the team, you know?
Here's the thing about basketball. I do like basketball. We said we weren't going to talk about basketball earlier. And
well, here we are.
Basketball is very hard to watch, to have a game on and watch as casually as you can watch football or baseball.
I would say that's, very
true. Because you could be like on your computer. I read books a lot of times because you can stop and start. So much. Yeah. In basketball, the stuff that's fun to watch, which is like a, which is off ball stuff, like good pat, like you have to be constantly paying attention, and it doesn't lend itself to instant replays, like instant in that they happen right after the play. You have to wait until there's a stoppage.
Right.
Not those aren't knocks on the sport. Those are knocks on the way I consume, or those are knocks on how basketball fits in to the way I consume sports.
No, I think you're absolutely right, because I'll have a game on in the background and sort of be reading or something, and then I'll look up and it's like the third quarter, and I'm like, I even missed halftime. Like, what the fuck happened?
And in baseball, you can miss like three innings and be like, oh, cool, the score's still 1-2. Right. Awesome. I maybe missed one kind of good defensive play.
Yeah, yeah.
So I should get into it. I also want to do hockey. Seems fun too.
Yeah.
What are we doing? There's so many good sports. We're wasting our time with baseball. I don't think that I love baseball. Baseball's my favorite.
Baseball's great.
I think
we're running low on time, so we'll just give a shout out to Vladdy Jr. He's finally up in the majors since the last time we podcasted. And so far, I just watched a series with him. He hits the ball very hard. He like is not yet cranking dingers, but he looked good on defense, and he hit the second hardest ball of the season, which was an 118 mile per hour bouncer to shortstop that Tim Anderson didn't even have the reaction time to like move to. It was so hard. It was crazy.
You watched him a little bit. Is he striking out a lot? Does he still have a low K rate, or is he just not?
He made good contacts a fair amount. In the games that I saw, I don't know if he's striking out a lot on the whole, but I would say that it didn't seem particularly worrisome to me. But then again, the White Sox pitching sucks, so
I think that's the thing, right? Because he had such a low strikeout rate, or relative low strikeout high walk rate in the minors.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think the true sign if he's not hitting is if he's striking out a ton, and then that's when you worry.
Yeah, and that's kind of what happened to Eloy. But I think for both of them. For me, it's actually been nice to have another top prospect like not come up and immediately be crushing the ball, because Eloy sort of was not doing that. And like so many, you know, your Juan Sotos and your Ronald Acuñas and guys Pete Alonso, like guys just crushing
Aaron
it right
Judge
away
when he came up.
Even so that's been kind of nice. But I think obviously I'm not the first person to say this, but I think he's going to be really good.
I think that's the most frustrating thing about baseball, to really rip on this sport that everyone hates. but like, unless there's something like really catastrophic going on, that like, because if Guerrero, even if he doesn't start hitting until mid-June, but then he hits like, he has like a 275, 340, 520 slash line, he's the rookie of the year.
Yeah,
like
for
probably
sure.
Right, and then like you'll forget about 6 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so it's like very frustrating to be like, man, he's playing bad now, but I'll forget about this if
he
starts playing
the way
that. If he just
starts ripping it. Yeah. I think the thing that actually struck me about watching him was he's the only person worth watching in the Blue Jays lineup. Oh. The Blue Jays are very bad.
Yeah, it is crazy how bad they are.
Like, I feel like I looked away and I looked back and suddenly they had no good hitters anymore.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Because they used to kind of be the team that was like almost too, they were relying
they
too
so
much
power,
on their hitters.
Yeah,
yeah, like they had holes other places.
Elsewhere,
like,
yeah. But now they have a good pitching staff and literally no one who can hit except for Vlad. So we'll see what he brings to the team, I guess.
It's got to be the best situation for Vlad, though. Or maybe not. Maybe you want veteran leadership coming up. I don't know. But to me, it's just like you can't have any pressure.
Yeah.
Because it's like the whole season is basically an extended spring training for the future.
Yeah. I think that it's probably a very good situation for him.
Let's go.
Ooh. We are, to give you an update on what we're groaning about, it's 90-90 with 4 seconds left in the 76ers-Raptors game.
Speaking of Toronto.
Speaking of Toronto, it all ties together. Speaking of basketball, which we just were. All right. Well, I think we'll leave you in suspense with who wins this game, because we are out of time for this week. So thank you guys for listening once again. Thank you to Boardwalk Audio, Off the Bench Baseball, and Moon Bounce for his transition music. We will be back soon with another episode. So in the meantime, you know, keep those subscriptions rolling. Leave us reviews. Hey, what? Fuck you.
it wasn't objectively laughable, but in my mind, it was far off from what I predicted you were going to say. I thought you were going to admit, in my mind, I was like, keep those bats swinging like a dumb. Yo. And I was like, oh, he did the normal thing. So
keep swinging those bats I and keep scoring those runs.
I laughed at you for not doing the dumb thing.
I kind of just wish I had, but anyway, thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.